NBA Australia. How you going? Welcome to NBA Australia. It is Tuesday, January 9. This is NBA Australia. I'm James Clements, your host, and it is our last week in Australia. Brutal. I only got four more of these left. Can you believe it? I can't.
It's just flown by, you know. It's just been such a good time.
Anyway, this is NBA Australia. I'm currently here in Armour Sound Guesthouse Cottages in Australia, giving you the heads up on all the best NBA junk. Who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball today. And today on NBA Australia, we are wrapping every NBA game from yesterday, plus the usual bunch of dumbassery. You know, there's there's hashtag better than Lonzo Ball, there's the unpopular opinion of the day, and it's Tuesday, so we have the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Baby Random Amazing Game Hall of Fame, and our Mango Mathiang check-in. Oh, yeah! Plus, as we do every day, we check in on every Australian player and just see how they're going. Plus, we preview all of today's NBA games. All of them! Every single bloody one, I'll tell you! And we'll finish up with a brand new installment of the classic Joe Ingles, HR manager. So let's not screw around. Let's get to it. NBA Australia, here we go!
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Yeah, you better watch out for the Shaq attack, because it is NBA Australia and we are all up in here doing our usual first thing that we do every morning on NBA Australia. It is the whip around. It's right there. Ka-pa-chow! Right there in your face. So let's get to it. Let's whip around all the games from yesterday and we'll do it to a bit of this one. So what do? We talk about the Jazz, we talk about the Heat. We talked about them quickly yesterday because this game was very early. And the poor Jazz, man, 102 to 103 against the Heat. Josh Richardson wins it with a layup that he just shredded that vaunted Jazz defense. Waltzed his way to the basket and laid it in with about 5 seconds left. So the tough one was that my boy, Donovan fucking Mitchell, could have won this at the buzzer and just misses. We're going to talk about him. Yeah, spoiler alert, a lot more better than Lonzo Ball today. How was his one-handed jam, though, off that Sevilosha pass? Holy moly. You can go watch that on. I believe we tweeted that out, so check it out. This is a typical Miami win, huh? Six dudes in double figures, no one over 20. Hassan Whiteside had 14 and 10 with four blocks for them. Yeah, not bad. Big fellas coming back. Miami, five games over 500 now. Getting healthy. Rut-row. That's a tough-ass six-seed, son. Best of luck with that, LeBron and Dwayne Wade. Bull Jesus. Rodney Hood is the only other guy to do anything for the Jazz man there. And Jingler Joe Ingles, we'll get to him in the Australian Player Watch, because of course we will. Meanwhile, the Jazz have lost 13 of 16. Oh, rough, I'll tell ya. Oh, Jesus. So that was a, the typical sort of Heat thing. Just grind it out, get the win, get the fuck out of town. Well, they're in Miami, so whatever. How about the Knicks at the Mavs? Oh, geez, the zinger. He is, as we all know,
the extreme zinger meal.
He's back. The extreme zinger burger. The extreme zinger meal. The supercharged.
Supercharged zinger burger.
He's right there. He had 29 and 8 in this one against his older alter ego. It's like Dirk Nowitzki and the zinger, like Tom Cruise meeting Zac Efron or something, or like Jackie Chan fighting Jet Li or something. I love that. It's like, when we last met, I was the pupil. Now I am the master. Fucking A. How about Enes Kanter? Enes the Penis Kanter. Ah, man. 13 points and 18 rebounds. Bold Jesus. Fucking hell. Cuban's trying to get him deported. It's a tough one. Jared Jack, Courtney Lee, Kylo Quinn, get them the rest of the way. And the Knicks actually win one. Did not expect this. Frankie Smokes, the Knicks rookie. Frankie Nicotine, he had 7-7-5 and two blocks and a steal. Holy shit, Frankie Smokes. Just out there quietly kicking some ass. I like that. On ya. Good job, Frankie. Keep doing you. For the Mavs, Harrison Meh Barnes had 25. Dirk had a rough one, I'll tell ya. 5 points on seven shots. Oh, Jesus. It's getting to the point where they're weak into burning him. Like, he's just rolling him out, just throwing him the ball, and he's just, like, reflexively just shooting it and knocking in a bunch of points. Poor Dirk. It's tough to watch, I'll tell you. How about Dennis Smith Jr., though? The Rook. Also a rough night. 5 of 14 shooting. Bull Jesus. With 11 points. So between the two of them, that kind of sunk the Mavs, huh? It's like right there. Writ large. Tough one. You know, there's only so much you can lean on JJ Barea and Devin Harris in 2017. So Knicks win. Thunder at Suns. Oh, fucking hell. How's this? I did not call this correctly at all. Suns win 114 to 100. Of course the shitty Suns won this after I was all like, they suck yesterday. I was all like, oh man, Josh Jackson got to get his ass handed to him. But the rookie had fucking 17 points. I mean, albeit it was on 7 of 19 shooting, but still. Against like Paul George, Melo, that's not bad, man. Not bad. Devin Booker had 26. TJ Warren had 23 TJ Warren points where, if you pay attention to NBA Australia, they're not as good as usual points for some reason. I just don't know. It's just TJ Warren points. They're a bit Jamal Crawford-y. The Dragon Bender, had a season high 20. Goes 6 of 8 from 3, does the Dragon. Just dropping bombs from the outside. Marquise Chris turned back into a shithouse pumpkin, though. Classic Marquise Chris. Oh, geez, guys, I played 3 good games. Fuck you, I'm bad now. Rusty, though, for the Thunder. He had another triple-double. Of course he did. He had 26 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. That is Rusty's 14th triple-double for the year. You know who's second? LeBron James with 7. But third, it's the Aussie, Big Simo, Ben Simmons. He's third in the league in triple-doubles. Love you, Big Simo. What else happened in this game? Melo had a rough one, 14 points on 14 shots. PG, Paul George, he had 19 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Not bad, but just, they couldn't get it going. And the Suns just, I don't know, G Thunder, maybe play some D against the fucking shitty Suns. Hey, here's a big question, though. How is T-Ferg, though? Turns out he's back to normal. 2 points in 18 minutes on 1 of 5 shooting. Damn it, T-Ferg. You were the best of us. You were the best of us, man. We relied on you. Terrence Ferguson, come back to us. What else happened? Spurs at Blazers. Oh, man, this was... I can't believe this is close. The Spurs lose by a point. It's our second one-point game of the day. But the Spurs, no Kawhi Leonard, no Danny Green, no Rudy Gay, no Tony fucking Parker. No problems, apparently, almost. LaMarcus Aldridge at 30, and Manu Ginobili, the man with a bald spot bigger than Argentina itself, had his second straight 20-plus point game off the bench. That's the first time anyone over 40 has done that. Unbelievable. Good job, Manu. Fucking love it. Patty Mills, not a great one. We'll talk about that in the Australian player whip around. No Dame for the Blazers, so they still win. That's pretty amazing. CJ and Nurk show, though. Not bad. 25 points for Siege. Yeah, the game winner. It swirled and swirled and swirled and eventually clattered in with 5 seconds left. The Bosnian Bear, yes, hello, I'm Yusuf Nurkic. At 17 and 13 because I am Bear who somehow dressed in Blazers uniform. I get the ball, put the ball in bucket, it's very easy, no. Anya Nurk. And Don't Be Mo Harkless had a good one too with 19 and 5. Man, back and forth, Cray game. Portland got down big, got up big, squandered it. The Spurs go up with about like 2 minutes left. Siege got to work, got them back up, and they just fucking eked it out. Nice one. And then how about the last game of the day? The Hawks at Lakers, bottom of the table, Tankapalooza 2018, baby. Gross. Lakers smash it, 132 to 113. Good all-round effort, especially after LaVar Ball started talking shit. Ingram has 20, Clarkson has 18, Notorious KCP has 14. Julius Randle had 15 and 9, starting back at power forward next to Lopez. And Kuz had a lazy 14, 6 and 3. So that is all the games wrapped. Let's get to...
That's not that nice. That's a knife.
That is a knife. It is the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. How about Manu fucking Ginobili? That's what he should change his name to. Holy shit. First dude ever to have back-to-back 20-point games off the bench, aged over 40. Fucking hell, man. Most dudes over 40 can't back-to-back big nights on the piss in a row, let alone back-to-back NBA games scoring 20 fucking plus. And it was the way he did it as well. This is so fucking badass. The dagger threes everywhere to get them back in it. Man, I just fucking love watching Manu when he's on. And I hope we get a Spurs-Warriors second-round playoff series or something just to see him go to work on those young whippersnappers over there at Golden State. So well done, Manu. That was great to see. And you get the NBA Australia-approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
It really was. How about old mate, no mates? Who's got no mates today? Well, this is pretty much an easy one. Because if you look at the internet, LaVar Ball out there just talking shit, just like, oh, they don't want to play for fucking Luke Walton over there anymore. I reckon he's lost the locker room, bro. It's like, motherfucker, you've been in Lithuania for like the last month sorting out your dipshit sons. So LeVar Ball in LA, this is the fallout has been swift. He talks shit about Luke Walton. Everyone laps that up for the 24-hour news cycle. He goes, oh my God, maybe he's correct. Oh my God, maybe the Lakers have lost. They've tuned out Luke Walton perhaps. Oh my God, fucking LeVar Ball. He's just a truth talker. And then the Lakers win. And everyone's like, man, fuck LeVar Ball. That dipshit is fucking bananas. So old mate, no mate says LeVar Ball. But it's because everyone in LA is like, oh man, this fucking guy, man. It's like, it's not hard enough losing 9 straight games and this fucking dipshit who's hanging out with his fucking dipshit sons in Lithuania of all fucking places, he talks some shit about the coach and now that's everybody everyone's talking about. How fucking bad are the Lakers PR dudes? They can't, I mean, how do you not like run roughshod over the top of this the entire time? Like, you can't ban a motherfucker from talking, apparently. They've tried. But now we've got like Ramona Shelburne all like, the Lakers need to hold him accountable. Really? You mean their approach of let the crazy fucking basketball dad talk shit about us with no consequence hasn't worked? I, for one, am shocked. Shocked, I tell you. Anyway, LeVar Ball in LA, your old mate Nomes today for the moment until the news cycle spins around. Let's get to it then. Speaking of which, it's time for Better Than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think he'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
I love it. That's some good timing that old mate, no mates is LeVar Ball. And then we go straight into who's better than his son. This is your daily look into who had a better night than Lonzo Ball last night. It is hashtag better than Lonzo Ball. Man, Lonzo's dad is just out there talking shit, man, and Lonzo's just having to go to work, huh? It's a brutal one. So, Lonzo last night had 13 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists in the win over the Hawks. That's a good game. Meanwhile, everyone's talking about his fucking dad. That's not ideal, is it? Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, better than Lonzo Ball. 11 picks behind him in the NBA draft. That's right, it's fucking 10-time repeat champion. 10? Maybe even 11. Oh my God. Donovan fucking Mitchell. Now, there's a man who should change his name legally to Donovan fucking Mitchell, putting up another 27-point game yesterday against the Heat. I mean, they lost by a point, and Donovan Mitchell lost the game-winning shot, but, man, you can't really argue with this. Like, he's the 13th pick of the draft. He took 25 shots to get to his 27 points. But shit, son, as Kobe once said, he'd rather miss 30 shots than miss his first 9 and stop shooting. So, got to get him up, Mitt Donovan. Got to get him up. He added 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal as well. Not bad. How's that ass taste over there in Denver? The old Denver, we really liked Trey Lyles, though. Nuggets? Fucking hell, man. Anyway, Donovan Mitchell, once more. Even though your team lost to the Heat and you missed the game winner, still better than Lonzo Ball, I'll tell you. Because, damn, that is a stat line. All right. Good job right there, Donovan Mitchell. Now, we're going to get to Yenaz right after. Let's say this one. Yeah, are you ready? It's NBA Australia. We take 3 NBA storylines and decide whether they're more or more So first up, we've got Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle should stop talking shit about ESPN for giving LeVar Ball a platform to shit on everyone for no reason. Get fucked. I love this so much. Rick Carlisle going, hey, ESPN, why am I getting asked questions about this shit? Like, you sent fucking big, fucking pursed lips, dipshit, fucking headed Jeff Goodman over there to talk to fucking LeVar Ball, and now you basically get to report on your own reporting while some dipshit dad is taking a shit on one of the 30 NBA coaches. You know, hallowed ground for the other coaches. I love this. Everyone should be weighing in. I want fucking Pop talking shit about LeVar Ball. I want fucking like Terry Stotts coming out and being like, you know what? I think LeVar Ball has got a bit of a point there, bro. Like Nate McMillan suddenly is like, meh, I don't really care. This is fucking awesome. Jump in, mate. Jump in. I love this so much. So let's get to number 2 then. Luke Walton acknowledging the love of the LeVar Ball shit-talking is going to break up the Lakers. Yeah, of course not. This is the best, though. I love how like Luke Walton is like fucking with reporters and going, yeah, I took Lonzo out because his dad was talking shit. Heard you were talking shit. Took your son out. How does that feel, fuckhead? And then he's all like, yeah, nah. Of course, I'm kidding. He just tried to get Lonzo a bit more of a run against the second units. And that's smart. And it's also fucking smart to acknowledge the dumb shit and point out how dumb that dumb shit is. Of everyone going, Luke, did you take out Lonzo because his dad was talking shit? Yes, that's what I fucking did, you moron. Love it. On you, Luke. Good job. And then the final, Draymond Green. Draymond Green is right. Ref and player strife is ruining the NBA game.
Nah.
Whose fucking fault is it, Draymond? Gee, I don't know. Maybe the cunts who yell, "And one!" every fucking time they shoot the ball and reckon they got touched every fucking time. You're basically saying, "You fucked up!" to the ref loudly and in front of 18,000 fucking people every time you do that. Get the fuck out of here. I want to see Draymond just ref like an actual NBA game that isn't the other, any other teams. Like maybe they've been knocked out of the playoffs or something. Draymond, just ref one fucking game. Just see what happens. I'd love to that. You'd fucking start kicking motherfuckers in the nuts as soon as fucking possible. It's also hilarious that Draymond got fined $25,000 for that. Brutal. But this fucking weird thing, look, I'm going to get to it next. Let's just fucking do it, shall we? Let's just fucking do it, mate. It's the...
Look at me.
It's the unpopular opinion of the day. And you know what? I actually fall on the side of the refs here. I feel like they have to just deal with a fucking bunch of shit all the fucking time. And the players aren't exactly out there making it easier on them. And look, it's important. They should be held accountable for shit fucking calls. And it should be made public when they fuck up as well. Because, I mean, it's public when the players fuck up. They miss a game-winning shot. They miss a pass. Everyone goes, all right, you fucked up, dipshit. Refs should be the same sort of thing. Because you get held accountable for your actions, you'll probably get better results from it on the court in your job. At the same time, though, do you really think the players are doing the best they can to mitigate this situation? Like, how often are they being dickheads and they just go, oh, actually, sorry, ref. Your last call was right. Look, I fucked up. It's barely ever fucking happening. It's fucking bullshit. There just needs to be a little bit more respect thrown on everybody's name. And I don't really, really think that it's like the lack of respect is coming from the ref side. Just saying. But anyway, I don't think it's that much of a fucking big deal. But I'm just saying that when Draymond is all like, oh, I think the refs are being a bit dickheaded to me. It's like, are they though, bro? Are they? Anyway, there you go. I don't want to fucking talk about refs. That's some bullshit. The fuck out of here. Anyway, let's get to it's Tuesday. It's our Shane Heal Memorial. Fucking get it up, bro. Shoot your shot. Amazing, crazy, fucking random game week. Hall of Fame shot, dude. Love it. So we've got two inductions today. We'll punch through this one. We mentioned the first one on Facey as part of NBA Australia Never Forget. 8 years ago, Andrew Bogut had himself a game against the LeBron D-Wade Heat in their first year together back in 2011. Big fella had a mangled right arm from the year before when Amari Stoudemire undercut him like a bastard, I'll tell you. But Bogut came back. He had 12 points in this game, 4 of 17 shooting, rough one. But had 27 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks just because he fucking could. That is bananas. 27 rebounds, holy shit. That's definitely deserving of a Shane Heal Amazing Statline Hall of Fame spot. And the other one, we mentioned this in yesterday's podcast very quickly, decided to dig into it a little bit more. So LeBron had a game against the Magic, and we talked very briefly about how it was the best sort of stat line since Derek Coleman in 1993. And it's like, oh, what was a Derek Coleman stat in 1993, folks? Well, against the Celtics, he had 33 points of 9 of 19 shooting, missed both of the threes he took, but added 15 rebounds, 10 assists, 6 steals, and a block. That is definitely some Shane Heal random crazy stat line worthy stuff there. On you, Derek Coleman. You are now a Shane Heal Memorial. Shoot your shot. Get him up. Amazing crazy stat line of the week. Hall of Famer. Oh, Jesus. Love me some Derek Coleman. Really did. All right, let's get to the Australian Player Watch and talk about all the Australian players very, very quickly because not much happened yesterday. So we'll do that right about now. Come on. All right, the Australian Player Watch, Ben Simmons. Yeah, he didn't play yesterday. It's all right. Nothing there. Patty Mills, Blazers. He had a rough one. Oh, Jesus. Up against the Spurs. Well, so for the Spurs, playing against his old team, the Blazers, he had a rough one. 7 points, 1 of 2 from three, 2 of 6 overall. Only 2 assists, 1 board, and, oh, Jesus. 3 turnovers. Yeesh. That is brutal, Patty. Maybe trying to do a little bit too much there, bro. Maybe. I don't know. Still, Patty. Still love you. All right, Jingling Joe Ingles hasn't scored in double digits now for 9 straight games because he played the Heat and he only had 9 points. He did, however, as mentioned yesterday, the ancillary stats doing all right, though. He still had 8 rebounds. He had 1 assist, 1 block, and 1 steal in this. And so those 9 points came on 3 made threes for the game. He goes 3 of 8 for the entire game. It's rough, man. Jingling Joe Ingles, no longer shooting better from 3 than from the field. It's just, I don't know, man. Maybe he's just full of all that Christmas turkey. Maybe. Delian Thon, they didn't play. Aaron Baines didn't play. And Andrew Bogut is still hanging out going, guys, what the fuck? I was on the Lakers just the other day, bro. And then I was not. What the fuck is going on, you dickheads? This is fucking bullshit. I'm Andrew Bogut. I'm an NBA champion. Fuck off, dickhead. So no Andrew Bogut. Reckon you're still selling with the Bucks. Come on. Mango Mathiang, we're going to talk about him in a second. How about our daily NBA Australia question? Yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? Ah, yeah. God damn it. Come on, Dante. And the final part of the Australian Player Watch, Kyrie Irving. Yeah, still averaging 24 points a game. And yeah, see how they go, I reckon. They're having a little bit of a break, the old Celtics, because off they go to London. Bangers. Bangers and Kyrie hanging out, along with Ben Simmons in old London town over there. That's fucking great. It's going to be fun as hell. So the Celtics get a little bit of a break either side of the game, and, you know, why not? So that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to watching that. I love it when they go overseas. It's just some good shit. How about, though, it's Tuesday. So as part of the NBA Australia Player Watch, we have the Mango Mathiang. Mango! Mathiang, what up? How's our South Sudanese Australian legend going? He's down there with the Greensboro Swarm friends in North Carolina. And you know what? You know what? I'll just say it. I'm going to lay this one out there.
Watch out for the Shaq attack,
because motherfucker is killing it.
Crikey.
He really is. It's like the Swarm keep losing, but Mango, motherfucker, he is absolutely shredding. And it's like, I don't know. Maybe the fucking shitty Hornets could use a little bit more oomph, because in a loss against the Wolves, Mango had 13 points, 15 rebounds, a steal and a block. Holy shit. Then backs it up against the 87ers in the G League against 17-6 with 2 steals and a block. Holy crap. And then against the Warriors, he had 16-11 with an assist. He's averaging 12-10 for the year. And that's because he started off pretty slow. So holy crap, though. 13-15, 17-6, 16-11. Get him, Mango! I'm definitely going to go see a Swarm game, I'll tell you. I'll fucking go check it out in Greensboro, because why the fuck not? All right, let's get to the game previews for today, because, look, Lord knows we gotsta, and there's a lot of them, and there's some pretty good ones today, so that'll be fun. And also the Patty Mills Inspiration Board. Shit, yeah, let's do it right now. All right, the Patty Mills Game Day Inspiration Board. Yeah, it's a rough one. No additions from Patty today on the Inspiration Board, aka his Twitter. So let's get to the game previews. Game previews. Raptors at Nets. Oh, Jesus. We the North. The Paul Pierce rematch, baby. Of course, Paul Pierce is now retired, and the Nets are still giving up draft picks for the Paul Pierce trade. Wow, it's almost like if you had thought that out, it wouldn't have gone the way you thought. Dipshit. Raps are killing it, though. Third best record in the league now, because they've just squeaked ahead of Houston with out fast Jimmy Harden over there. DeMar is scoring it like a mad dog. So Raps 27-10. Brooklyn are 15-24. Only 5 games out of the playoffs behind the Knicks, Sixers, and Pacers sort of triumvirate. The Spencer Dinwiddie All-Star case is being made as well, which is pretty funny, considering it's like, oh shit, how bad is the East when it comes to the guards? But he won't make it. Damn shame, but he does have a net plus one on the season for the 15-24 Brooklyn Nets. That's right. The third string point guard for the Nets is just fucking killing it, mate. He's averaging like 14-8. Holy shit. Anyway, Raptors win this. I don't think I've ever seen the Nets... I think I've seen the Nets beat the Raptors maybe once in Brooklyn. Bold Jesus. Be watching that one. Jesus. Anyway, Bucks at Pacers. So Raps win that. Bucks at Pacers. Greek Freak versus Victor Oladipo. Dally going to deck like fucking, I don't know, Bojan Bogdanovic today. Just get the Maybe he should just go out there and deck everybody and collect the whole set of like Eastern Conference shooting guards or something. I love it. Bucks at Pacers is a sneaky good team now that Victor is back too. Sneaky good game. Bucks out there, you know, smashing. Pacers were smashing. Victor comes back. They start smashing again. Give me the Bucks in this though. Not a big travel game, so I think they'll be right. And Greg Freak could pretty easily have a massive one, I think, in this. How about the Rockets and Bulls? Oh, Chris Paul versus Chris Dunn. Point gods. What up? Fighting Bobby Portis and Face Miritich. Face off against Ryan Anderson and Clint Capela. I love it. This is a fun-ass game, Rockets and Bulls. This is like, the Rockets could score 160. You know, and Laurie, that's a girl's name, Markkanen, could have like fucking, I don't know, 35. Yeah, just mark it. I reckon the Rockets win this one, though. Cavs at Wolves. This is fucking tasty as, bro. Because it's a Kevin Love revenge game as well. It's also LeBron versus the kid he traded away for K-Love, Andrew Wiggins. That's fun. And I don't know, man. This is like, who fucking defends big Karl Anthony Towns for the old fucking Cavs there? Like Tristan Thompson? He's going to fucking dunk all over K-Love if he's face up against him. That's brutal. But I love this. Jimmy Butler, Andrew Wiggins, Big Cat, man, versus LeBron, K-Love, maybe Isaiah Thomas. This is fun as hell. What a game. I love it. Give me, I think the Wolves. The Cavs have just looked a little bit discombobulated. So I think the Wolves take that one. Pistons at Pelicans. Oh, gross. Andre Drummond versus the two actual best centers in the league, maybe. Even if Andre Drummond plays, perhaps. Pistons are fucking trash, though. Even though he just won. Oh, Jesus. That random game against the Rockets the other day. Unbelievable. Still, yeah. Pelicans win that. What are you going to do? Spurs at Kings. Oh, Kings. Can Manu get to 3 20-plus games in a row? Can he? I don't think he'll end up playing this one. I feel like Pop would be like, dude, you're 40. Sit the fuck down. You're having a rest on this one. Spurs will just try to eke this one out. You know it. Patty Mills might play 48 minutes with no Kawhi, no Tony Parker, maybe no Danny Green. Kings just out there, kinging it up. You know, they got their win the other night. That'll do for the week, no doubt. And so, yeah, Spurs. Oh, I reckon the Kings might pull this out. They're just fresher. Spurs have played like two games in like the last three nights. So, rough one. Nugs at Warriors. Oh, this is also a very fun game. We've got Joker versus Curry. Zaza. Klay Thompson. Oh, Jesus. So, Jamal Murray. He's going to launch him up against Steph as well. Who's better? Steph. No KD for this one either. Draymond is going to be out there like kung fu fighting with that fucking $25,000 fine he got. So keep an eye out to see how many motherfuckers Draymond kicks in the nuts. Warriors win. They're at home. Nugs probably won't win that one, but it's going to be fun. Nugs have just got enough like wing dudes just to keep throwing at the Warriors, like between Wilson Chandler, Gary Harris, even Jamal Murray. There are other dudes like Will Barton and shit. Like there's just a lot of dudes. Trey Lyles, he's long and lengthy. He can broke it from three. Still Warriors win. All right, how about Hawks at Clippers? Final one for the day. Hawks, they lose to Lakers. Back-to-back LA games. Boy, are they going to be hungover. This is going to be a rough one. I reckon the Clippers kick the absolute bejesus out of these crappy Atlanta Hawks. Because, look, when you're hanging out in the clubs in LA after losing to the Lakers and everyone's like, oh, shit, that's right, we're an NBA team and we're in LA. Go and get fucked up. And Clippers will fucking smoke them. And you know what? Holy shit. We got there. That's it. That is fucking it. That's been NBA Australia for today. We'll be back tomorrow, probably from another different studio in NBA Australia territory. You know, a lot of bouncing around on this trip has been fun as hell, though. How good is it being in Australia? It's warm, as opposed to the fucking freezing-ass bullshit happening in New York. So, in the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia and over at Facebook at NBA Australia. You'll get the NBA Australia Never Forget every day on Facebook. Some fun stuff. Yesterday's was Mark Bradke. Go check that one out. It was a good one. The man bigger than the Strzelecki Rangers. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and Google Play and chuck us a review and rating. Come on, help us out. Do it. What are you, a coward? Give us a rating and review. Come on. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their Newbound House Hats and their amazing song, All Together. They're playing at the Gasso in Melbourne this Wednesday. I'll be there. You should be there too. Meanwhile, vote all together in the Triple J Hottest 100. Just do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. After you rate and review us, go vote for them. Extra special thanks to the legends of Green Green Green, the Ramshackle Army, and Fascinated for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Check them out on Bandcamp and Facey. Give them a smash, bro. They're fucking great. And we're going to finish off today with Joe Ingles, HR manager. So stick around and revel in some jingling Joe Ingles managing some HR problems. Oh, yeah, you know it. All right, that's it for NBA Australia. In Australia, we've only got three more of these to go after this one. In Australia. Oh, boy, it's been awesome, though. All right, NBA Australia, we'll catch you tomorrow's Later Horizon. G'day, it's Joe Ingles here. I'm back for me weekly duck into the NBA Australia office in between drinking coffees and sinking threes for the Utah Jazz to answer your HR questions as NBA Australia's resident HR manager. Because look, you probably didn't know this, but I didn't go to uni just to play basketball. I also majored in human resources. Because, look, after all, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans are resources. So I'm the most qualified here to help out with any questions you might have on pretty much any topic. So, let's get today's question. Alright, this question comes from LB in LA. To Mr. Joe Ingles of the Utah Jazzes. Well, that's a bit weird. Anyway. Hi Joe, I just wanted to ask you a quick question about my job. See, I started a new job this year with a great organization and I love it here. They were excited for me to start. I was super excited to start. And even all the other employees, all the way up through to my bosses, were crazy supportive of me and the work I was going to do with them. So, all good, right? Well, it certainly sounds like it, Mr. LB. He goes on. Well, just one problem. My dad is pretty well connected and he keeps causing problems for me at work every time he says something to someone. He just can't help himself. And I know he thinks he's just looking out for me, but I can't help but shake the feeling he's just looking out for himself. I mean, I'm just trying to do my job, which is hard enough as it is, without him over there making everyone think I'm not enjoying myself at my new job. What do you think, Joe? How should I handle my dad and my work? Thank you. LB from LA. Oh, wow, that's a tricky one there, LB. But look, I'm here to help. And this is a tough one because unless you're in the family business, workplaces are no place for family. If they were, they'd be called family places. They're called workplaces for a reason. I firmly believe you come to work, and that's it. Sure, my HR underling Cheryl here can show me pictures of her kids, but I'm not letting them come in to work with her, now am I? No. And the same goes the other way. Cheryl's husband and kids aren't telling her how to fill in our personnel database. Now, are they? Bloody hell no. And this is crucial because workplace HR is, after all, the backbone of any successful enterprise. And crucial to that are interpersonal relationships. And if there's an imbalance due to outward-facing factors like family, then other employees will be right to feel mistreated. The key to that is communication and maintaining clear lines of communication between yourself, your management, and explaining to your father that your workplace is not his workplace. You could also suggest keeping his opinions to himself as part of that communication. And all I ever ask in HR is that any and all problems or grievances are aired in a timely and respectful manner through the proper channels, and that everyone meets the weekly KPIs I set for them. So you just need to keep your roles clearly clarified and have easy to understand and follow KPIs, and have management and HR involved as much as possible to keep everyone on the same page. And after all, as we say in HR, the properly filled in memo to management always gets the attention it deserves. All right, so bottom line is, you got to put yourself in the best position to succeed in your line of work, which isn't your dad's. So think positively and make the most of your human resources. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Joe Ingles, and this has been the HR Q&A session. I'll catch you next week on NBA Australia.